Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Torina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. I welcome you all around the world from wherever you're listening to us at this moment in time. I want to bless you in Jesus' name and tell you that God, you know, has got the best for you in life. You know, it's a great joy to see how our ministry has grown on air. We're ministering to more than 8,000 people every time I broadcast. We got more than 8,000 people listening to the broadcast here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America. I want to challenge you in Jesus' name that, you know, as you listen to these programs, would like to know, you know, where you are listening from. You can always give us a call when we have broadcasts. And the number to call is 646-652-4048. Once you call, I'll see here in the studio, it will give me an indication that you are calling. And as we go with the broadcast, I'll give you a chance to view, bring forth your views, or to get involved in the dialogue or the discussion or the teaching that I'm giving. Well, before we go further, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your divine holy presence this wonderful evening. We know that thou art the God of mercy, compassion, wonders, and miracles. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. But with you, we can do great and mighty things. For you are the one who gives us strength. You are the one who empowers us. You are the one who causes us to overcome. Therefore, we bless you today. As we look through this study, I pray for each and every one who is listening, that the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost shall rest upon them this day. We give you honor and glory, knowing that, Lord, we shall see the revelation of your mighty power, the revelation of your great wisdom unto us, to make us overcomers in whatsoever we do. Bless us, we pray, Master, in Jesus' name. As everybody agreed together with us and said, Amen, Amen. Well, beloved one, you know, yesterday I was teaching on the need for the people to support the church and the work of God. I said yesterday that, you know, if we don't support the work of God, nobody's going to do that. You see, God is not going to rain money from heaven to support the work here on earth. That's why he's got you working. That's why he's got you earning money. That's why he's got you getting the finances you get. It gives you the enablement. There is a scripture which says, for it's God that giveth power to get wealth. You see, without God giving you power to get wealth, you cannot have wealth. But because God gives you power to get wealth, that's why you get the wealth. But today, I'd like us to look at the fact that in the walk of faith, we need to mature in the things of God. You see, days of moving marbles are gone. What do I mean by moving marbles? Doing things that are not going to have an impact on the life of people. Moving marbles means, you know, marbles are little things. I know when I was very young, many years ago, we used to play marbles. My father would bring a ball full of marbles. They were nice, psychedelic color, blue, green, purple marbles. You know, and we'll play these marbles and, you know, have fun with them. So those marbles are little small crucibles, like what you might call like small little balls, transparent, but small to play with. So when I say we are past the time of playing marbles, I mean, we have passed the time of playing games. What I really mean is that when we come in the kingdom of God, and especially we who have assigned ourselves to the Lord, who have committed ourselves to the work of the ministry, we need to do things that will change the world. We cannot be hanging on to doing things that won't change the world. We cannot hang on to do things that are not going to, you know, have an impact on this earth. We need to be like Creflo Dollar, make an impact. We need to be like Kenneth Copeland, make an impact. We need to be like Oral Roberts, Richard Roberts, make an impact. We need to be like Kenneth Haggins, make an impact. We need to be like what Joel Osteen is doing now, make an impact. Well, I'm talking about impact, which will have an everlasting effect. You know, it's no good just to talk about Jesus and we have no impact. We gotta have impact. The impact comes from the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the drive. The Lord Himself causes us to triumph, to run, and to do things in the kingdom and leave an indelible impact. And so, I want to challenge you, beloved one. You know, take an assessment and look at your life. What have I done? You know, I've always said to myself, I said, you know, I don't want to be 90 years old and regret. I sit there in my rocking chair and then say, hey, I regret. I wish I would have won people to the Lord. I wish I would have spent more time to do things for the Lord. Oh, my God. And the time is gone. I don't want to do that. It's when the Lord is still with me and the strength He has given me, I want to work my life out. I want to write books. I want to be serious and write books that to remain as a legacy for the generations to come. So they will know they were people of faith in the year 2016 or in the year 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, who did formidable things that changed the world. There were men and women of faith that stood their ground against the opposition of the devil and left an impact. That's what I want to see. You know, it's no good after years have passed and we have done nothing. We need to be people of vision, people of purpose, people of determination, and people oriented and inclined to seeing results. And so today, I want to look at the things that will make us leave an impact. And these things that will make us leave an impact in the world are things of the Spirit. We need to come to a place in the Spirit where we are no longer children. You see what I mean? We are no longer children, like I said, children playing with marbles. We should be people who are moving mountains. We should be like Caleb when he was 85 years old. He told Joshua. He says, Joshua, give me this mountain. You remember the promise that was given to me by Moses. 40 years was I then. You know, he said, we're going to possess the land. And we have done it. These 45 years, I've been moving in and out, and I'm as strong as I was. You know, Caleb was as strong as he was. And he's telling, Joshua, he's saying, give me this mountain. Excuse me. He's not asking for something small. He's asking for a mountain. A mountain means you're asking for a much more difficult task to take. You know, in the Christian faith, especially in the ministry, it's easy to take the easy way out. And the easy way out is to, you know, maybe just evangelize a little bit, have a few tracts, pamphlets, talking about Christianity, give them in a corner and then come home and rest. But friends, you know, there are people here in America who are doing exploits for the Lord. Can you imagine? Most of the churches I've been to, people having like 15,000 members. People shaking the heavenlies. like I said, you know, this pastor, Eddie Young, he preaches from Grapevine. Then his preaching is broadcast through internal screens by satellite. He has branch churches in Fort Worth, in Dallas, in Miami, in London, and in many other parts of this country. He does one message just like I'm preaching now. My message is being replicated in different cities and towns of the world, because I'm on the internet, and this, my preaching is going worldwide. But Eddie Young, the way he does as he's ministering, you see him on the screen. These are huge screens. He's live, like he's right there. And people are gathered as a congregation to listen to a person they cannot touch by hand. He's in Grapevine, but they are here in Dallas, but they're receiving his message. That message is coming with an impact. Friends, I don't know if you are to explain to somebody, those are greater works, you know. That's doing exploits. And when he tells you that we are working with a budget of $50 million, friends, that's a lot of money for a preacher to believe that such kind of money to come in. See? So I'd like us to look in the book of Galatians and chapter number 4. Now, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. See? May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now, here Paul is trying to reemphasize the importance of maturity, maturing in God. You see, the time to move marbles is gone. Time to play church is already gone. Time to do, you know, church like me and the three, me and our four. No, we should be talking about thousands. This is time. We are getting close to the end times where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit must be significant. We must see the works of the Lord manifested through our ministries with great impact. We need to do things that are going to shake this world to believe. You know, it's the Spirit that drives us to do great things. It's the Spirit of the Lord that works through us to do exploits. All we do is believe and walk with the Lord. And guess what? As we do that, God is going to continue to pour out his Spirit upon us to do more exploits. See, the Bible here says, now I say that a heir, as long as he is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. What does Paul mean here? What Paul is talking about is, no, even if you are born again, you've been born again for 15, 20, 50, 60 years, but you are a child in the things of God. You have not matured. You don't know how to handle the word of faith. You don't know how to run with the gospel and cause things to happen. You can be regarded as a child in the things of the ministry. It differs nothing from a servant. As long as you are a child in the things of God, you differ nothing from a servant. Though you be a hare. Paul says, now I say that a hare. A hare means somebody who is getting an inheritance from his father. Paul is saying, now I say that a hare, as long as he's a child. So you can have a hare who is a child. What do we mean? A hare who is undernourished spiritually, does not have what it takes to do exploits. Paul is saying he's not different, even if he's headed for the throne to become the next king, if he is, you know, as long as he's a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Here, you know, Paul is saying, such a person who is supposed to be a heir, who is supposed to be in charge, who is supposed to be in command, if he is a child in the things of God, is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Who are tutors and governors? You see, when a person is not matured in the things of the Lord, he still needs to be taught so he can mature and be able to handle the heavy responsibility of ministry. We need people who are well tutored, who are well taught, both by teachers, by apostles, by prophets, but above all taught by the Holy Ghost himself in the school of the Knox, in the school of doing it. You fail and you stand up, you run and you do it again. In this school of the Knox, where you try and you do it and you fail and you pick up yourself and do it, God will lead you and cause you eventually to become an overcomer. What matters in these things of the Spirit is having the mantle and anointing of the Holy Ghost. When we have the mantle and anointing of the Holy Ghost, we're going to run with the vision of God and we're going to reach this world for Jesus Christ. The thing that makes the difference between a non-productive ministry and a productive ministry is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When we have the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon our lives, the Holy Spirit himself is going to be our teacher. Paul is saying there in verse 3 of Galatians chapter 4. He's saying, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That means when you are not mature, elements of the world will keep you in bondage. The spirit of poverty will keep you in bondage. The spirit of failure will keep you in bondage. These are elements of the world. The spirit of impossibilities will keep you in bondage. The spirit of I can't make it, I can't do it will keep you in bondage. These are elements of the world. But you see, Paul is saying here in verse number 5 of Philippians chapter 4, when he begins in 4, he says in verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we have been redeemed from the power of the elements. So spirits of poverty and lack and sickness and failure are not supposed to be our neighbor. We are to be overcomers. We must walk by that spirit of an overcomer. Nothing should put us down under whatsoever. Here he says that, you know, God sent forth his son to redeem us. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law. Verse to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we have been adopted into the family of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And we have the Spirit of the living God upon us. That Spirit of going out to do exploits. That Spirit of signs and wonders. That Spirit of miracles. That Spirit of power. That's what we have. We don't have a spirit of weakness. We don't have a spirit of I can't do it. We don't have a spirit of saying I don't know. Or saying I'm just a failure. We have a spirit, the spirit of an overcomer. We overcome barriers. We overcome impossibilities. We speak to mountains and mountains move. See? Now, here he's saying in verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, that Holy Ghost who has been imparted unto us, He cries, Abba, Father. That means the Holy Ghost in us identifies with the Creator of the worlds. The Spirit that is imparted in us, the Spirit of Christ, that has recreated us and made us anew, cries, Abba, Father. Now, when we say Abba, we are saying the God divine is our Father. The Creator of the heavens and the earth is our Father. Now, can you imagine? The Creator of the heavens and the earth being your Father and my Father? That is a plus. This means wherever we go, when we are with the Creator of the heavens and the earth, nothing is going to be impossible. So, Paul says in verse 7, wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. See, let me tell you what, we are overcomers, I'm telling you. We have overcome the elements of this world. We have overcome the obstacles of the devil. God has placed us at such a point where nothing can put us down. You know, we are to experience success. We must. You see, I think it's the Apostle Paul who says God has led us from victory to victory in Christ. So we cannot be saying, oh, you know what, my life is just, you know, half-baked. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to see the sun tomorrow. Our word must be a more than a conqueror through Christ who died for me and gave himself for me. You know, if somebody was going to tell me a story about being an overcomer and I've not seen it, I would doubt it. But, you know, I've seen the power of God work in Nigeria. I saw Archbishop Ida Hosa, anointed of the Holy Spirit. This man had thousands of members under him in his church. He had students from all over the world, in thousands. He had a television ministry that was making an impact in Nigeria, changing millions and millions of lives. He had teachings that were very established. I was with the Archbishop. He built a church to seat over 10 to 15,000 people. And when he was building, I was with him. So when somebody says, miracles that can't happen, I can't believe it because I've seen it. That's why I'm saying time to move marbles is gone. Play with marbles in Africa. Little glass balls. Put them in a bowl, throw them around, and you play with marbles. This is not time to play marbles. This is a time to move mountains. This is a time to do things that are going to put the devil to the run. I've always been very much moved by people who do exploits. I visited Larry Lee's church years ago. And I think it was 1986, I came to Dallas, Texas. By that time, I hadn't moved yet to the United States. and I visited Larry Lee's church. This Larry Lee was making an impact. He was raising 300,000 prayer warriors to pray for the United States and for the church in the world. And I joined and I became one in a million. Then the man of God, I don't know what happened. He crumbled and he fell on the wayside. Then it was Bob Tilton with a huge church. I visited his church in 1987, I think, here in Dallas, Texas. He gave me tips. I was given by his missionary director tips that helped our Bible school. Come to hear the man had fallen on the wayside. These things have just burnt my heart. Come to look at Jim Baker. This man had a tremendous ministry. Archbishop Ida also had Bibles from him that said PTL. There were PTL stickers everywhere. This guy had such a powerful television ministry. And he was building the heritage family, a place where you can go and have vacation for a week or 2 weeks. The Heritage Village, I think in South Carolina or somewhere, I can't remember. He fell by the wayside. Then there was Jimmy Swaggart. This man had an impact in Africa beyond belief. He was a household name in Africa. If you ever asked even a small child, who is Jimmy Swaggart? They'll tell you, the man who preaches on television. You know, I'm from Africa, Zambia, and would watch Jimmy Swaggart on television. He had such an impact. He would preach with fire. Government officials were shaken by the message of Jimmy Swaggart. Then to come and hear him fall, it was a piercing pain to our hearts. And saying, who is going to stand in these latter days? Who is going to carry the torch of fire and anointing of the Holy Ghost across the four corners of the earth and proclaim that Jesus Christ is alive? You know, I've said all this to say, God is still using his own people. We cannot give up just because some people have stumbled. Nobody is immune from stumbling. The key factor is you need to get back into the battle. See, David fell. But David, although he failed to serve God, the amazing thing was David failed with Bathsheba. His first child, a boy, died. But the second son was Solomon, who became the king of Israel, king of Judah, and became the wisest man who ever lived and the most richest man who ever lived. Can you imagine? Which means God can forgive and God can forget. This is time to move ahead and start moving mountains and stop playing with marbles. This is time to leave an impact in this, our generation, so that the people who shall come years to come, they will point back and say, in 2016, there lived a bishop, Dr. Lawrence Mwamba, in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America. He shook the land of America and Africa and abroad. We will do it. It takes dedication. It takes faith. We can no longer be children, but we must be sons and daughters of God and do exploits. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba signing off here in Dallas, Texas with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, and say we're going to be with you again tomorrow. God bless you and bye-bye.